ChatGPT that. She was also a long-term member of ADAC planning and implementing activities to boost our employee morale. Danielle lives in Atascadero with her husband, Eric, who works at the sheriff's office. Thank you for your service, Eric. And two sons, Dean, 13, and James, who is 6 but turned 7 this weekend. 6-7, that's for you. All right. Outside of work, Danielle volunteers with her son's Boy Scout troop and likes spending time with her family camping and being outdoors. And you are a terrific troop mother, too. So, Danielle, thank you for 5 years. Battalion Chief Dave Vinson, come on up. You're up. Dave grew up in the Santa Barbara area, graduating from Dos Pueblos High School and then the Firefighter Academy at Allen Hancock College. Dave started his fire career with the Santa Barbara County Hotshot Crew, and after working 3 fire seasons, he joined the United States Air Force and served 3 years as a firefighter senior airman before being hired as a firefighter with the city of Great Falls. Dave later went on to obtain his bachelor's degree in business and human resources from Columbia Southern University. In 2021, Dave joined Atascadero Fire Department as Battalion Chief of Community Risk Reduction for our department. This includes plan review, public education, weed abatement, enforcement, vegetation management, and a lot of inspections. You're an excellent liaison between our community and the city. People don't usually call Dave really happy about a lot of things, but they end happy. Dave just has a great way of dealing with our citizens, and we really appreciate that. Dave has been married to his wife, Jill, for over 35 years. Congratulations, Jill and Dave, and they have 4 children and 2 grandchildren. Thank you, Dave, for 5 years. Jill, thank you. All right. We have Brett Hildebrand, firefighter, 5 years. Come on up. Brett was hired by Atascadero Fire and Emergency Services in February 2021. Brett's firefighting career began in the U.S. Forest Service over 20 years ago with the Los Padres National Forest. His wildland experience includes 2 seasons on a fire engine in the Monterey Ranger District, 1 season as an Arroyo Grande Helitac crew member, 8 years with the Arroyo Grande Hotshots, and the last 3 years working for the Bureau of Land Management as a smoke jumper out of Boise, Idaho. So I don't think you get scared very easily, it seems. Brett grew up in Leona, California, but has resided on the Central Coast for the last 20 years. He and his wife, Stacy, and almost 2-year-old daughter, Jolene, live in Atascadero. They enjoy traveling with their dog. Brett loves spending time outdoors, whether it be trail running, golfing, or enjoying lake time on the pontoon. That's a good way to pass time. Congratulations on 5 years, Brett. Thank you so much. Julia Irwin, public safety dispatcher, 5 years. Julia began her dispatching career with the Cal Poly Police Department in 2014 before transferring to the Atascadero Police Department in January 2021. She's an active and engaged member of both the Atascadero Police Foundation and the Atascadero Police Association boards, helping to coordinate events like our Easter Bunny visit and Crafts with Cops. And those are amazing events. Thank you for taking the extra time to do that. It's so important. She resides in Coalinga, California with her husband, Kyle, and their 3 Boston Terriers. Outside of work, Julia has a passion for baking, especially sourdough, and has even launched her own home-based business, Fetch and Flour Sourdough. Well, we'll have to get some of that, Chief. In her free time, Julia enjoys baking and spending quality time with her family, particularly on fishing trips to Shaver Lake with her husband and father. Thank you, Julia, for 5 great years. Okay, we're moving on to 10 years. Larissa Lopez, where are you? Come on. Oh, we got signs. Look at this. Woo! Look at this. I think that's a first. That is awesome. Let's just keep those waving for a minute and look at those. Yeah, that is so great. You are celebrating 10 amazing full-time years with the city of Atascadero. Wow, she began her journey, and you can tell she's well-liked, in the Recreation Division as a coordinator overseeing youth and adult sports and collaborating with organizations like Little League and Babe Ruth. Larise quickly expanded her expertise across many areas at the Colony Park Community Center, from pickleball and instructor programs to mastering the active net system. 3 years ago, she was promoted to Recreation Supervisor, where she now leads the entire Recreation Division and continues to oversee the successful publication of the Atascadero Recreation Guide 3 times a year. Most recently, she spearheaded the return of the aquatics program, which has been positively received in the community. And that's making a huge difference, teaching kids to swim. Thank you for doing that. Beyond her, it's making a splash, the chief said. I had to say that. Way to go, man. Beyond her city role, Larice serves on the board for the California Park and Recreation Society's District 8, actively contributing to programs that enrich the lives of local youth, and serves on the committee for the annual Monster Skate competition that gathers youth across the county to perform and show off their talent in skateboarding. Larice lives in Atascadero with her wife, Amy, and daughter, Charlie. Thank you for your dedication. All right, we got a cheer back there for the family. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Larice, for your dedication, leadership, and the incredible impact you have made over the last 10 years. You're the best. Thank you. Laura Henderson, Assistant City Manager, 10 years. Woo-hoo! I love your husband's shirt. That is love right there. I mean, I'm so glad that Laura is a key part of our city executive team, and she's definitely made a difference over the past 10 years here. For most of this time, Laura served as deputy city manager, handling several special projects in the city clerk function. I was so impressed by Laura's thoughtfulness, ability to communicate, and the level of respect that she had from her peers, and her ability to get things done that I promoted her to assistant city manager this past year. As assistant city manager, Laura is the chief operating officer of our organization, making sure work is staying on task, and she is good at that, isn't she, team? And timeline, and keeps the city manager on task too, I think, and that we are following all of our operational policies and procedures. In addition, she's responsible for risk management and legal oversight, community engagement, intergovernmental relations, legislative advocacy, and she manages several major projects, including the Public Safety Enhancement Project. That's about a 60-hour work week, right? I know. We appreciate it. In addition to all this, she still serves as city clerk. Laura is simply invaluable to me and to the city, and I'm so thankful she serves as our co-pilot. And I'm very proud of her professional growth and thankful for her commitment to this city. She pretty much works around the clock. Laura and her husband, Pete, have two young and very active, awesome kids, V and Bass, right there in the front row. Good to see you guys. And they are both adorable and very involved in the community as well. They also, as a family, enjoy Disneyland, live music, and cheer on the Los Angeles Rams. Thank you, Laura, for all you've done as our assistant city manager and city clerk these past 10 years. I truly appreciate your help, dedication, and your service. Remember where you were 20 years ago? Ooh, man. Are the pictures going to be in black and white or... Paul Netz, fire captain, 20 years. How are you, dude? All right. I'm not going to let you buy. Crazy. Wow. I remember when he started. So that's like, I was here. Paul was hired part-time in 2003 and full-time in 2005. Prior to entering the fire service, he worked in construction and heavy equipment operations, developing practical skills that continue to benefit the department and the city of Atascadero. He promoted to engineer in 2010 and his current position of fire captain in 2019. He currently serves as the department's lead fire investigator and fleet manager, overseeing critical operational and investigative responsibilities. Paul has been a licensed paramedic since 2010 and became a state certified fire officer in 2015. His additional qualifications include heavy equipment boss. That is a cool title. Heavy equipment boss, urban search and rescue, response trained, and helicopter rescue technician certification. And again, a heavy equipment boss. He is currently completing training to serve as a duty officer, allowing him to assume battalion chief responsibilities when needed. And I know you'll do a great job. Paul and his wife, Kelly, a sergeant with the Atascadero Police Department, live in Atascadero with their two children, Jameson and Josie. Outside of work, Paul enjoys camping, off-roading, and hands-on construction projects, including the extensive remodel. How long has it been going? Extensive remodel, usually, of their family home. I'm sure you're doing great. Thank you, Paul. That's a cute picture of you and your wife up there. That's a good one. Man, they got some good ones. All right, and we're going to wrap up with the most tenured, awesome employee, Director Jerry Rangel, 25 years. 25 years. She started working for the city when she was 3 years old. She is a prodigy, so it's amazing. She had her master's degree by then. Jerry's been with us since 2001, starting in the finance department as a senior accountant, right? And then she served as deputy director of the department in 2003. I remember that. And then she became director of administrative services in August of 2013. You're still going. Thank you. As director, Jerry is the chief financial officer of our city, responsible for the city's budgeting, financial planning and reporting, contract review, and grants management. She oversees all of the city's financial operations. Again, thank goodness. And she looks over our fixed assets and audit coordination. She's a CSMFO budget reviewer. And today I went over those requirements with the mayor, and he was very impressed at how many requirements there are there. So to earn that award, and she her work has led to our city receiving that Excellence in Budgeting Awards for many consecutive budget cycles. These past few years, she has navigated us through two debt issuances like a master. Two debt issuances with fantastic results, getting the highest credit rating we could, and borrowing costs lower than estimated, which really helps us with the fire station, our redevelopment debt, and that just puts more money back into taxpayers' hands. Jerry heads up her department with strong leadership skills, grace, and humor. She is also the force behind the finance department's staff reports, using her exceptional writing skills to translate detailed financial information into something even I can understand. Jerry is a consummate professional, extremely bright and knowledgeable, hardworking, dedicated, and just a really nice person. It's a pleasure to work with you, really. She demonstrates the utmost integrity, the highest integrity. She's also an amazing mother who loves and is involved with her family, and she's a tremendous baker. So if you've gotten to eat her treats, you are very fortunate. Thank you, Jerry, for everything you've done for all these years, for the city, for me, for our team. Today we honor 25 awesome years of service. Thank you. 25 years. 25 years gets a comment.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jim, for all those nice things. And I'm just honored to have the opportunity to serve our community and our organization. I have a great team and support of my amazing family through all those late nights and weekends. And just really appreciate the opportunity that this has been provided. It's a beautiful city and great people here. So thank you.
Council, would you like a picture with the team?
Yeah, you can hang on a second. Also, I don't think you mentioned Jerry is our city treasurer as well.
Oh, yes, she is our city treasurer. And we're going to start that up here pretty soon, I think. City treasurer, that's right.
Before the council's going to come down, we want to take a picture with all everybody being honored this evening. But before we do that and move on, I had something more somber I wanted to address and do so before everybody left the room. Last week, Jerry Clay passed away, and many of you, of course, know that Jerry Clay served on the city council for, I think, 16 years. He was born and raised in Atascadero, so he truly, you know, bled orange and sweat gray for many, many years. He was just dedicated to this community. He did a lot of things for this community in addition to being on the city council. So I'd like us all to have a moment of silence in memory of Jerry Clay. Okay, thank you. And yes, the council would very much like to come down and take a picture with all the honorees and make sure all the family members have a chance to do so as well. And I really appreciate a man who wears his love for his wife on his sleeve, literally. So, good job.
While we're taking a few pictures, I do want to recognize one other city employee today. Our super human resources manager, Rachel Hunter. It's her birthday today. She turned 27. Happy birthday, Rachel. Happy birthday. We appreciate you a lot. Thank you. 27 today.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
As president, he led the United States through two of the greatest crises in recent history, the Great Depression and World War II. As a man, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's confidence and vitality made him one of the most beloved figures of the 20th century. Though physically crippled by polio, Roosevelt rallied America through some of its darkest hours, assuring citizens struggling through the Great Depression that they had nothing to fear but fear itself. The nation responded by making him the only man elected president four times, the fourth in 1944, despite his increasingly evident deteriorating health. But with the nation still at war with Germany and Japan, the American people stuck with their courageous commander-in-chief. By April 1945, Franklin Roosevelt had been president for more than 12 years, guiding the nation from the brink of economic ruin to the verge of victory in World War II. But on April 12th, while vacationing in Warm Springs, Georgia, he suffered a massive cerebral hemorrhage.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fulton Lewis Jr. speaking from the Mutual Studios in New York City. This nation has suffered this day a staggering loss. At this moment at Warm Springs, Georgia, President Franklin D. Roosevelt lies with the problems of the nation finally lifted from his shoulders, stricken late this afternoon with cerebral hemorrhage. He passed away before his physicians could be of any assistance, if assistance in such a case is possible at all. Vice President Harry Truman, who from here on will be President Truman, went immediately to the White House. A special cabinet meeting was called, and we should know more about what is going to happen in Washington as the evening wears on. But Franklin D. Roosevelt, the first president to be elected for four terms in the White House, has passed away, and that is the overshadowing of all news events that have happened or can happen for quite a while.
The news of Franklin Roosevelt's death plunged the country into shock and mourning. Thousands stood silent along the railroad tracks as the train bearing his coffin made its slow trip from Georgia northward to his final resting place in Hyde Park, New York, bidding goodbye to a president whose indomitable spirit had inspired a nation through poverty and war, and whose legacy would benefit and inspire future generations of Americans for decades to come.
Tonight's city council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Welcome to Heroes of the Air, true stories of those who flew for America and earned the nation's supreme military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Heroes of the Air is brought to you by the Air Force Association, an independent nonprofit aerospace organization which promotes public understanding of the role aerospace power plays in our national defense. Your host for Heroes of the Air is Gene Pell.
The mission was daring and complicated. The flights of B-24s would take off from airfields in Libya, fly more than 1,200 miles, and approach their target area at treetop levels. The mission was also considered vital to the Allied war effort. Its purpose? Destroy German oil refineries that were the lifeblood of the Nazi war machine. Five U.S. airmen would receive the nation's highest award for valor when it was over. Ploiești, Romania, August 1st, 1943. One of those five was Colonel John R. Kane of the Army Air Corps, who led the third element of heavy bombers in the mass low-level attack. En route to the target, Colonel Kane's element became separated from the leading portion of the...
Thank you all to all the employees and their years of service. So we're going to move on now to the consent calendar. Consent calendar consists of items that are considered routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be acted upon in a single motion unless a council member wishes to pull an item for a more detailed discussion. We will allow public comment on consent calendar, of course. So, but I will now see if there are any members of the council wishing to pull an item or have a question. Okay, I think, go ahead, Heather, though.
I want to pull 11 for discussion.
Okay, so we're going to pull 11 for discussion, and you had a quick question? On a question on 9. Okay, so go ahead and ask your question on 9.
Yes, on 9, the capital asset policy. I just want to confirm that my understanding that we're increasing the limits of how we account for certain assets so that we can make the accounting process more efficient, but that we're not changing the controls on purchasing so people can't run out and go buy a bunch of stuff and not be noticed.
That's correct. And this will make it much more efficient for the audit and as we bring up our asset management software, our new program. Yeah.
Thank you. That's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Other than pulling out 11, any other questions from council? Okay. With that, we'll go out and see if there's any public comment on items E1 to E10. Any member of the public wishing to comment? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council for a motion.
Move approval for items 1 through 10 in the consent calendar.
Okay. Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk and a second by Councilmember Peek. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Peek?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bourbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to a discussion of item E11, design contract amendment for Del Rio US 101 interchange. So Councilmember Newsom, did you have a specific set of questions or do you want just more detailed discussion?
Just a little bit more detailed discussion. And then I did want to know what changes at Barrel Creek and the old Walmart property are currently affecting some of these changes that we recommended years ago.
Sure, those are great questions. Luke, I don't know if you can pull up. I did put together, have a couple of slides here that maybe might help answer some of these questions. The council did approve a concept plan. Originally, this was roundabouts, a series of three roundabouts. When Walmart decided not to pursue their project anymore, staff went through some pretty extensive land use scenarios and were able to come up with alternative designs for this corridor. And these were the approved concept plan. And with the specific plan was also updated and amended with Del Rio. And this did include the Walmart site, as Council Member Newsom mentioned, and the Marketplace site and the hotel. And so we ended up going through that. That got amended. Some of the traffic mitigation measures were also amended. And so the project, as proposed, is into three phases. And there's the primary driver of this is to kind of have orderly development along the corridor. And then also have the improvements in the Caltrans right-of-way under $1 million. And that will, instead of having a long, drawn-out review process, we'll be able to get an encroachment permit issued if it's under $1 million. So phase one is this westbound to northbound right turn lane, top of this sketch. Right now, a lot of this is already built out by Marketplace. So as the previous slide showed, it shows a lot of El Camino and a lot of Del Rio. Much of that on the north side of El Camino, of north of Del Rio, and the Del Rio corridor is already built out by the Marketplace. The Walmart site is conditioned now. It's Del Rio Ranch, the RV park that's has entitlements for that property now. And they are conditioned to do these improvements along El Camino Real, including a traffic signal near that subway driveway entrance. But the city's project would be, phase one would be this westbound and northbound right turn lane, which would also include extending that retaining wall that was built with the Taco Bell and relocating a traffic signal and doing some modifications. Phase two and three would be on the other side of the freeway. Phase two would be the Ramona Road realignment. Now, the city does own all this property. We city purchased that Arnold property several years ago, and we also own the Fleet Liquidation property. This is also a proposed site for potentially a future fire station number three. And so phase two would be the Ramona realignment, and phase three would be more on the south ramp and including some dropping off the hill there with the Del Rio improvements. Really, the project need, purpose, and benefit is traffic mitigation for that specific plan update and the general plan. So we're really, these improvements really are accommodating the future growth and rezoning, especially along Ramona Road that was all upsized with the general plan. Improves traffic and pedestrian bicycle safety, you know, adding and making connectivity. Also improves the traffic congestion and intersection operations right now. So all the signals will be interconnected when complete. As I mentioned, that future development opportunities for a potential fire station three or other land uses. And then these special mitigation fees that are being collected right now in the Del Rio specific plan. It also includes Barrel Creek, and they're paying in a per trip charge to this. And these fees are really dedicated to a portion of these corridor improvements. And then really, as I mentioned, provides early development of the corridor. With the changes with the Walmart site and Barrel Creek, they are proposed to do their own frontage improvements. So Barrel Creek has a lot of, they have approved public improvement plans right now to do a lot of the Del Rio frontage improvements and on San Ramon Road as well. And I'm not sure if I answered the questions or not, but does that help a little bit more?
It does. I was going to ask about the future location of whether or not that realignment would allow for the development of Fire Station 3. And then will any of these improvements include repaving and redoing the whole intersection from ECR to Ramona, San Ramon, I should say?
From ECR to Ramona?
San Ramon Road. That all going to get resurfaced and paid in this future improvements?
Yes. So this phase three would be a lot of the improvements on Del Rio that are shown here. Some of these improvements are going to be are conditioned already, as I mentioned, with Barrel Creek, their development, but then also going down to Monterey Road. That's pretty rough right now as well. We're looking at including that as, you know, finding to talk to the administrative services director first, but look for funding to be able to make those improvements at the same time. Just, you know, when you can do more paving, that the economies of scale, it just becomes a lot more economical to be able to do that. So this corridor really needs to be, improved and modernized quite a bit. And it's really kind of getting ahead of the development that's going to be coming in this area as well.
I appreciate the extra time for clarification.
I had a question for you on this particular map here. If you're coming southbound, getting off the freeway there at Del Rio, and you want to make a right turn onto Del Rio going west, it doesn't look to me like there's going to be a dedicated lane there that you would, let's say you were getting off there and you're going to go to the Barrel Creek development after that's built. Isn't there going to be like a lane so you don't have to merge into the primary through traffic lane? It doesn't look like there is.
It's kind of like a continuation of a bike path as you is shown here. And these are really conceptual plans because the final plans will be, they'll look at all these little details and intricacies.
Okay. So we don't need to specify that because I'm concerned we're doing a big contract with them to design. And it just seems that that's one of the things. And I don't want to get into in the weeds knowing if we have the chance to address some of that later and you guys have the chance to address
for
that.
For sure. And we'll bring these back to council as they get developed. You know, one other thing too, is we didn't go out Wallace, you know, why did we select Wallace? They really have the history with the project. They've been the project design engineer since 2012. Unbelievable, about 14 years. They have the familiarity with the project, they have all the CAD files, all the design data, the traffic analysis, they have the Caltrans connections and coordination, and really know all the other nuances with the project. They're also a very qualified firm. I mean, they are one of the top firms that do transportation projects in our area. And then their fee was very competitive and reasonable. We actually checked with another one of their competitors that gave us a estimate of the fee, and it was very close to what Wallace had and was proposed tonight with this contract amendment.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I would understand that. I mean, they already have a lot of familiarity that is going to save them time and money. The other last question would be, we're proceeding with some degree of design work here. What if the projects involved change? Is there any, like if Barrel Creek turned into something else in terms of what is expected, would that have an impact on the design itself to the extent that we shouldn't be paying a lot of money to have the design now?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And this would become a project ready or shovel ready type project. We're ready to bid out full construction plans, approvals by Caltrans, all that. And I don't imagine if Barrel Creek were to change, that would change this corridor at all. The east side is pretty well baked, what's going to happen there. you know, this Ramona Road realignment's a big one, and it's way too close to the intersection right now. And why that would be phase two is because that would automatically trigger, if we wanted to do the intersection improvements at the south ramp, that would automatically push us into a longer design process with Caltrans because of the vicinity of that Ramona Road to the intersection. So we want to move that away before we do the work up on Caltrans right away.
Great, thank you. Okay, I want to open it up to public comment on this particular item since we pulled it.
Good evening, Council and staff. Jeff Oslin, Council Member Newsom. I appreciate your questions. You eliminated about half of mine. I do have a couple, and that would be San Ramon going towards Home Depot. That road needs to be repaved at some point sooner than later. I'm hoping that gets in something with Barrel Creek and et cetera, going down. My biggest concern, though, is Del Rio going westbound at the intersection at ECR just past Valley Fresh. If you were heading towards the highway, on your conceptual map, it is a straight and right lane, a bike lane, and a left turn at ECR. And I'm concerned because I do know the traffic there has changed with the businesses that are coming in, the residents coming in, that I think we need a dedicated right turn lane added to that intersection. If you were to go back on your conceptual, you can see that at that intersection. So if you're looking there on the far right, Nick, you have a left turn and a straight and right, and then the bike lane. I don't know if there's any way to make a different right turn lane there, but I think it's needed, especially now that we are going to see more traffic there, believe it or not, with Chick-fil-A coming in, even though they're down at San Ramon and ECR, that will push more traffic going down ECR going northbound. And I'm glad that you brought up that with the improvements of both the projects that are proposed at some point that they will chip in and do their correct fees to fix that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no one else approach, we'll bring it back to council for a motion. And Mr. DeBar, if you could get with Mr. Oslin perhaps and answer that question. But I'll bring it back to council for a motion. Discussion.
Before I make a motion, just what's the timing on the Ramona Road realignment, the phase two of this project?
Yeah, I think phase one is going to, you know, obviously probably be the first one because a lot of the building permits are really tied right now to, you know, for Marketplace and others, like we're looking at traffic and there is a threshold that we'll hit at some point where, you know, could put pause on some of the development. So, but phase two, the Ramona, again, we'll look at funding early next year with the budget cycle and see what kind of funding we have. But I'd say that the plans would be ready, shovel ready, towards the end of 2027 timeframe. So anytime after that, like early 2028, we'd be ready to go and bid those out if funding is allowed.
Okay. And if ownership changes on the Del Rio Ranch project cause that project to change, I mean, it won't become a major retailer, like, you know, big box store because of deed restrictions on that property from the prior corporate owner. Do you anticipate any major impact for different use on the portions of the project that aren't being built by that property?
No, I really don't. Director Dunsmore and I really put this thing through a lot of different land use scenarios. Mm-hmm. I forget how many, but and combinations and everything else. But I feel very confident with this plan line and its ability to address future growth. The big one is if there was a regional shopping, that would trigger like a bridge widening. So when we went away from the roundabouts, we said, okay, this is only going to be able to accommodate so much. But we also set a side the right of way. That's why next to Taco Bell, there's a big wide area there between Del Rio Road and that where the retaining wall is. That would be to accommodate if the bridge was widened someday by Caltrans. We would want to try to have a wider bridge to accommodate a couple more lanes. I really don't see any of the land uses that would be coming in. Maybe Director Dunsmore wants to weigh in on that either, or also.
Thank you, Director DeBar. At this time, we don't have definitive land use ideas for the Del Rio Ranch property. The entitlements are still there. The project is approved. We hope that's what happens or something very similar. If anything changes, they will have to do a new traffic analysis, and we would have to analyze that at that time. And we just hope we don't have constraints that hold us back. And that's the whole, this whole process was about removing constraints so development can move forward. This is an entirely, I would see this as an economic development action tonight with looking at these improvements. And we're also doing some environmental CEQA work to unlock these intersections as well. So a lot of effort being put into it.
Yeah, and a public safety initiative because at some point, development of the community is likely to require fire staffing out in that area, and that's our location for northwest area fire station. Okay, if you're ready for a motion, I will move approval of consent item number 11.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bourbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Thank you. We will move on to updates from the city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor and members of council. I do have a few. This week, May 13th from 8 to 9, that's tomorrow, I think. Yeah, tomorrow morning from 8 to 9 a.m. In front of City Hall is Pedal to the Garden. So this is a chance to ride your bike. This is our city annual event to bike to work. So this is a promotion for that. Bicyclists can enjoy a light breakfast and refreshments. I think they're actually breakfast burritos, if I'm not mistaken. So free breakfast burrito if you ride your bike to work or City Hall. Our local full-service bike shop, K-Man Cyclery, will also be there to share service tips with bicycles and the latest in bicycle performance and safety. So this is part of SLOCOG's May Bike Month with events happening all over. So bike to the Sunken Garden tomorrow morning and get yourself a free breakfast burrito and refreshments and hang out with some fun city staff people who also rode their bike. Next, National Public Works Week. Public Works Week, all right, is May 17th through 23rd, sponsored by the American Public Works Association. This is an opportunity to recognize our public works professionals that focus on infrastructure facilities and the services that keep our community looking good and operating. They impact our community's safety, health, and quality of life. And so our public works department is made up of a dedicated group of maintenance workers, engineering, administrative support, and managers who are responsible for rebuilding, improving, and protecting our city's parks, streets, wastewater, and storm system, and our facilities, fields, and public spaces. So thank you to our public works department for your excellent work, and we salute you next week, Public Works Week. This week, we have the Lemur Habitat grand opening, and look how excited that lemur is for his new home. This Friday, May 15th, the Central Coast Zoo is thrilled to invite you to experience our newly renovated lemur habitat, inspired by the incredible biodiversity of Madagascar. So the doors open at 10 a.m., general admission is required, and we're going to have a special ribbon cutting and celebration for our new lemur habitats. Don't want to miss that. Also, the 23rd annual Ice Cream Zoofari tickets are on sale now. This will be Saturday, June 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. It'll be a wonderful summer evening with all-you-can-eat ice cream, sundaes, and yummy toppings. And then your children go to Pure Dentistry, our top sponsor there. I think that's funny. Tickets include full zoo admission and unlimited sweet treats. So Ice Cream Zoofari, get your tickets now. Our next event is just really excelling as the place to be in town. This is Coffee with a Planner. Join the monthly Coffee with a Planner for opportunities to connect with city planning staff. This is May 21st at 9 a.m. Malibu Brew Coffee. The topic actually is fascinating. This is on accessory dwelling units and Senate Bill 9. So what can you do with your property and how do you work through the ADU process? So should be a great conversation. If you're interested, come have coffee with our planning team. Next, we have the Memorial Day Ceremony. Memorial Day is May 25th, 2026 at 11 a.m. at the Faces of Freedom Memorial. It's a very meaningful event to honor those who've made the ultimate sacrifice and service to our nation, and always just a tremendous event. Kiwanis will be having a barbecue following the ceremony to support the veterans and those who are there that day. So don't miss our Memorial Day Ceremony. And finally, I just wanted to say on behalf of the staff, we also send our condolences to the Clay family. Jerry was such a great supporter of city staff, encouraging, would always sit and tell us stories of the city, so we appreciated its history and legacy. And Jerry will be missed, so our sympathy to the Clay family. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. You can go to visitatascadero.com and atascadero.org as well. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay. Does any member of the Council have any questions for the City Manager? Councilmember Peak.
Yeah, the people want to know, what's the name of our new lemur? No further questions.
I'm to the grand opening.
I'll find out and get back to you.
Maybe that'll be revealed at the grand opening. Seeing no further questions, move on to Community Forum. Community Forum is the portion of the meeting reserved for persons wishing to address the City Council on items that are not on the agenda. As the Brown Act prohibits us from entering into a discussion of items not on the agenda, we could limit our response to a quick question of staff or ask staff to get together with a speaker. Community Forum can only last 30 minutes, although it doesn't look like from the size of the audience that will be a problem. Each speaker is limited to 3 minutes, and we ask that you state your name for the record. First speaker, please.
Good evening once again, Council and City staff. I have two interesting items, I guess. One would be where Caltrans attempted to fix the road by McDonald's and the 41 Morrow Road area. Are we going to be able to get them to actually do a job correctly there? Because that road is getting worse and worse nonstop. The second one is, as we continue to add bike lanes, I think our city does fairly good job with our street sweeper cleaning the areas of the bike lane. But the worst part of the bike lanes is Morrow Road, and I believe that's Caltrans's problem. How do we get those cleaned up so you don't have bikes in the middle of the road? It's horrible if you look at those so-called sidewalks / bike lanes. There is so much debris on them, and they never really get attended to. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to address the council?
Hi, Atascadero City Council. I'm Francesca Devlin. Can you hear me? Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Francesca Devlin, and I love walking around the lake with my dog and think that the park's employees do a stellar job taking care of it. I would like to respectfully request the evaluation and implementation of additional traffic and pedestrian safety measures around the lake area and surrounding roadway corridor. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Specifically in the 15 mile per hour speed limit zones. This area serves as a highly utilized recreational destination for residents and visitors of all ages and abilities, including children, people with limited mobility, families with strollers, runners, cyclists, anglers, and many others who regularly use the area for walking, recreation, and community enjoyment. While the posted speed limit is currently 15 miles per hour, vehicle speeds frequently exceed what appears safe and appropriate for the roadway conditions. The area contains numerous blind curves, limited sight distance, wildlife crossings, and sections where pedestrians are directly adjacent to vehicle traffic without physical protection. These conditions create ongoing safety concerns for both recreational users and motorists. Respectfully request that the city consider prioritizing the following safety improvements: a comprehensive traffic and pedestrian safety study, install radar speed feedback signs, electronic your speed specifically in the 15 mile per hour zones, implement traffic calming measures, evaluate the feasibility of raised speed bumps, pavement markings, or other traffic calming tools, improve pedestrian protection in exposed areas, and increase safety signage and enforcement presence. This lake area is one of Atascadero's most valuable community assets and serves as an important place for recreation, wellness, and connection for residents of all ages. The current roadway design and driver behavior creates conditions where a serious incident feels increasingly likely if proactive safety measures are not considered. I appreciate the city's continued commitment to public safety and respectfully asked for this area to be evaluated before a preventable tragedy occurs. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. Mr. DeBar, if you could get Mr. Oslin and address the role of Caltrans and whose responsibility it is relative to keeping those bike lanes clean. I'd be curious to know that myself, but the city manager can discuss that with us. But if you could get with him and also perhaps get the contact information for the last speaker to discuss what you can and can't do regarding some of those concerns.
I will.
Okay, thank you. All right, we will move on to item H1, a public hearing regarding Proposition 218 majority protest process relative to proposed increase to wastewater, or better known as sewer rates. I'm not sure if we're turning that over to Mr. DeBar and then subsequently to the city clerk.
I'm going to pass this one over to Mr. Betts.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. It's one of the gifts after a five-year anniversary is to do proposed sewer rates. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Ryan Betts, Public Works Analyst. I'll get this started. Just the council may recall that back in March 10th, staff brought an item before you. They analyzed the wastewater services, capital needs, the rising treatment and energy costs, and primarily the impacts of very stringent state regulations for the eventual replacement of our wastewater treatment plant. This was in kind of a continuous process of last year, looking at the wastewater rate analysis this time last year, which proposed a series of potential cost increases to keep up with the rate increases to keep up with cost increases. After that presentation and discussion, council set a public hearing for today, May 12th, and directed staff to send notices to all customers of the sewers collection services and set a public hearing date. Since that time, staff has mailed approximately 5,637 property owners of the notice for tonight's meeting. And I'll be fairly quick, just to reiterate, these proposed rates before you tonight are designed to recover the cost to proportionally provide wastewater flow and strength to the system. Unlike a number of cities, CSDs, and counties in the state, we do not have individual water rate analysis or data for parcels. And so the city some time ago used a best practice, which is analyzing that strength and that flow based upon EDUs or equivalent dwelling units. That's the methodology that the city has adopted. One EDU is defined as the wastewater flow and strength of a single family dwelling unit. So a typical residential house is charged one EDU rate per month. And then everything is basically off that.